Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made, and thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which art infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. In thee and in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood, and thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain which thou hast made, and at thy blood which hath been made in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. These next two chapters are not pleasant to read. They speak of the judgments of God coming upon his wayward and idolatrous people. For the sake of time, let's do maybe a brief overview and bring up some things that are most interesting in this chapter that remind us of other places in Scripture that are part of the context. So the first thing that I'd like to say here is, notice it says, let's see, where is it here? There's a point spoken of here where the Lord says, you've come to your majority. It's no longer the time of your beginnings. Now you've sort of grown up. And how have you grown up? Is the point that he's making with them. And it's not good. They have not grown up properly. They have not come to their own, if you will, entered into their course in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And so the Lord is going to judge them. This is how you have grown up. This is how you have come to your majority, to your age, if you will. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about particular churches and how they grow up and come to their age and how they end up. And I must say that we as denominations and so on, as Reformed Presbyterians and so on, that history has not been kind, if I can personify history for a moment. As we take a look back from the days of the Reformation and forward, we look at some wondrous things that God did during the days of the Reformation, and yet since that time, the road of history is strewn to the left and to the right with formerly faithful churches. And in our day, the Lord has been pleased to preserve in a very small amount of churches the faithfulness of our fathers and, you know, that confessional integrity and those kinds of things. And so we must ask ourselves, we must ask our children, we must ask our fellow church members across denominational lines or even within our own denomination, how will we grow up and how will we come to our majority? What are the steps that we must take to do that? And here we are talking about children and praying for them. How do we bring a child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in such a way that we have some confidence in their faithfulness as adults? See, all these things, they are one in the little details. They are one in the details, and we must then be ready to take up those details. It is those little things that end up growing into things that are far beyond propriety, the bounds of propriety. So Israel, Judah, Jerusalem had grown up. She had come to her adulthood as a church, and what is the Lord saying to her? It's not good what you've become. So that I was musing on that this week as I was thinking through this passage. Thou hast caused thy days to draw near and are come even unto thy years. But I've made thee a reproach and a mocking to all countries. The other thing that I was thinking about here is, come on, Ezekiel. We're already in captivity. How about a word of comfort? You can't keep speaking hard things to us like this. Have you noticed that that was not the Lord's method here? What is the Lord's method here? If you will think with me for a moment, maybe the Lord would be pleased to open our minds together, we would recognize that it is only in days of judgment, like the folks at the River Kebar are experiencing, that finally they're opened up to hearing what they need to hear. It is a very carnal procedure, a very carnal process to say, oh, come on, haven't I suffered enough? When at those times of acute chastisement, that's when our ears are most opened. What did the prophets, or what did the people say to the prophets? What do we read in Isaiah and here in Ezekiel? Don't speak hard words to us. Speak smooth words to us. We've had enough of hard for a while. But it is at such times that the Lord will pursue. It is at such times that the Lord makes those great changes in our souls. And if we know this from Hebrews 12, that if we are without chastisement, then we're not true sons nor daughters. The other thing that I was thinking about in this passage is that we've already seen that there have been parallels to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord has brought them up already, back in chapter 16 and then beyond. Now we come to this chapter, and although Sodom and Gomorrah are not mentioned, there's that conversation with Abraham that I think is alluded to, that we read about in our proclamation of forgiveness. The Lord says, I looked around in Jerusalem to see if I could find one guy that remained in the city that I could say, for the sake of that one guy, for the sake of that one grape, I'll save the cluster. And there was nobody there. You know why there wasn't anybody there? Because all the obedient had already obeyed the voice of Jeremiah, and they had come out of the city. They were taken captive. Here they are at the River Kebar. All those who were going to be saved came out of the city already, such that when Nebuchadnezzar comes back for tour number 3 and brings the city to the ground, the Lord will be completely just in saying, there wasn't a man there. There wasn't one there. What happened in the days of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? We remember, we heard the end of the conversation. 50 righteous? I won't destroy it. 40? Nope. 30? Nope. 25? Nope. 20? Nope. 10? Nope. And Abraham dared not ask any further than 10. There was less than 10. What did the Lord do? He drew them out before he destroyed the city. That's, I think, quite parallel to what we see here in chapter 22. There's already been that comparison between Jerusalem and Sodom. And then the other thing, the fourth parallel, kind of a redemptive historical parallel, notice that this sounds a lot. If I was preaching, we would go back and we'd look at the parallels between this and Ebal and Gerizim. I'm just going to remind it. I'm going to remind you of it here, and you can think of it later. But one of those curses, if you remember, that was shouted from the mountain of cursing, I think that was Ebal. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. But, you know, they wrote the Ten Commandments on a plaster wall, right? They built up a wall with rocks, then they plastered it over with white plaster, and then they wrote the commandments of God on that. And the Levites were to stand on one was a mountain of cursing, one was a mountain of blessing. There's a valley in the middle. The people of Israel are down in the valley. Francis Schaeffer in his Genesis in Space and Time says that's a wonderful natural amphitheater. If somebody's standing on top of the mountain over here and speaking, you can hear them in the valley. Okay? Cursed be he that setteth light, setteth by his lightly his father and mother. Did you hear that in here? We did hear that. These are the curses that are coming to pass upon Israel, because when those curses were shouted forth from, I believe it's Ebal, it could be Gerizim, don't hold me to that. By the way, in that day, we don't hear the blessings. All we hear are the cursings, because the warning is more important to the people of Israel. And so, these curses then are coming to pass in Ezekiel chapter 22 that were shouted from Ebal and Gerizim. And then finally, let's leave ourselves with a little bit of hope here. Because what the Lord says, not I will destroy you, but I will destroy your pollutions. And that's the final point that we have here in this passage. That he is not going to make a full end of his people, although they had shed blood in the street, they had committed soul murder through their idolatry. That's the shedding of blood we're talking about here. Things worthy of death. Soul murder. Although they had done all of that, the Lord will not make a full end, but he will, through his fury, purge their pollution. He will destroy that which is destructible in them. And then he will indeed restore them. What a wonderful testament to the mercy of God. Also here in chapter 22, although it's not very well seen, it's there. You can see it, because God will not make a full end of his people. All right, with that then, let's stand.